So our text is from the epistle reading we heard a few moments ago from 2 Corinthians, these words: "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be obvious, but apparently it's not. What is obvious, but apparently it's not? Well, the fact that a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not proclaiming himself as Lord, not promoting himself as Lord, not peddling himself as Lord, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ as Savior. But let's be honest, really is not so obvious, is it? Preachers rise in prominence. Preachers rise in fame. Preachers accumulate wealth, abundant wealth, by, for all intents and purposes, proclaiming themselves, by proclaiming their unique take on Christianity, by promoting ideas of their own creation, which can only be acquired through them. The promise so often in such situations is not of teaching even how Jesus might become Lord of someone's life, as it's popular to say in some circles, but of how ultimately that preacher himself might become just such a Lord of the listener's life. "You Lutherans confess creeds," an evangelical once said to me. "You Lutherans confess creeds. We confess people. We follow people. And when one person fails or is found wanting, we stop following them and we start following somebody else." And I suppose that's understandable. I mean, how boring, how uninspiring, how frustrating might it be if, when asked to describe his vision, yes, how frustrating would it be to hear a new preacher, when such a question is asked, to answer something like this: "Well, I'm not going to preach myself. I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to preach the law. I'm going to preach the gospel. In short, I'm going to preach the same thing, the exact same thing that every preacher before me has preached from this pulpit, and that is Christ. Christ and Him crucified. Christ as Savior. Christ as Lord. What is more, I hope eventually you'll forget me, forget my name, forget my appearance, but I hope and pray you never forget our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you always bear His name as a Christian. And I would add that you eventually will take on His appearance, the appearance about which we heard this morning in the gospel reading. For what do we read in Scripture? When He appears, we shall be like Him. So we read in 1 John, "For we shall see Him as He is." I mean, that's the promise that we have in Christ, isn't it? The promise of righteousness, the promise of holiness, the promise of justification through faith in Jesus Christ, that's forgiveness, the promise that we too will shine like the sun. Not only like that big bright ball in the sky, but like our Lord and Savior as He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the angels are described. And so are those who worship before the throne of the Lamb in Revelation, described so wonderfully in the hymn, "Behold a host arrayed in white, like thousand snow-clad mountains bright." Now, when I rise from the dead, I don't want to take on the appearance of Jimmy Swaggart or Joel Osteen, and I definitely don't want to take on the appearance and the resurrection of Joyce Myers. But I want to take on the appearance of my Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's Him I'll proclaim to you, clearly, I hope, boldly, I pray, consistently. But you know, if you want $50 $50 for listening to a preacher this morning. You can go elsewhere close by. For a church a couple of blocks away from here this morning is offering a free MyPillow pillow to any visitor. Now, a MyPillow pillow runs $50, so that church is giving visitors $50 to attend, and it's making that point through Facebook. It's a $49.95 value, it says there. Well, I don't have $50 to give you visitors, I'm sorry. We do have the stickers. But here I'm in good company. The apostles, they didn't hand out money either. They handed out Christ. But the problem with handing out Christ then was the same as it is today, and that is when the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, it's not the transfigured, the shining Christ that's proclaimed, the shining Christ which then leads to shining Christians, which causes those who see them in the world today to step back, shielding their eyes. No, what the apostles proclaimed, what is proclaimed by our epistle reading, is the everyday Christ. The Christ who's the apparent son of Joseph, the Christ who was the son of Mary and had brothers and sisters, the small town Christ, the average looking Christ, the day-to-day Christ who himself did not shine before the world, but appeared ultimately through his death on the cross to be overcome, that is completely and totally overcome by the world. And perhaps that's why people today are not so much interested in Jesus, the Christ, the real Christ, as they are in pillows. Interested in those who proclaim and evidence by their wealth and fame that they personally have overcome the world. And if we just make them Lord of our lives, if we just follow their methods and ideas, their visions even, we too will become as they are, for we do see them face to face right now on television. And they will transfigure us in this world to be wealthy and healthy and famous. But what is it that Christ proclaimed? A worldly transfiguration or a heavenly transfiguration? If we preach Christ, if we preach Jesus Christ, we must say heavenly. And so the transfiguration, it has to stay on the mountain. It's not our present, it's our future. It's not to be proclaimed as the Christian's life now, but as the Christian's eternal life then. And even the experience itself was not the example of Christian existence, but simply an unveiling, an uncovering of who Jesus was and is to Peter, James, and John, the three chief apostles who, along with Paul, would be inspired by the Holy Spirit to write 26 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And it is that to which we look, the Bible, the Word of God, which is the thing, even more sure, as the Apostle Peter put it, more sure than the experience of the Transfiguration. For what is the proclamation of the Word of God but simply, as we heard in the epistle reading, an open statement of the truth? That's the Word of God, the truth. The truth openly stated, the truth boldly proclaimed, the truth which is the light, shining out of the darkness, shining into our hearts, giving light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. You want to overcome the world? Even if you had $1 billion in your bank account, you couldn't overcome the world. Even if you had a brand new MyPillow pillow by the end of the morning, you couldn't overcome the world. Even if you had the most profound insight from the most brilliant person now living, you could not overcome the world, for the world is already in the process of overcoming you, and overcoming you most boldly and clearly and succinctly in death. Sure, we're not dead yet, but we are dealing with death. And we deal with death when we suffer by means of the sins which we commit, and struggle because of the sins that others around us commit, and we're burdened by the general presence of sin which we face every day. What is such suffering? What is such struggling, such burdening, but simply the foretaste of death itself? But in Christ, in the forgiveness of sin which is ours through faith in Christ, what is that but the foretaste of life itself? In Christ, what is that but the tenacity to face our struggles? In Christ, what is that but the strength to bear our burdens? In Christ, what is that but the love to forgive the sin which we experience, and there the capacity, the ability, the fortitude to live in this world, not because our bank account is flush, not because our bill of health is clean, not because our social IQ is off the charts, but because we live and we move and we have our being in none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in Christ, only in Christ, that we are being transfigured. It's in Christ and only in Christ that we are overcoming the world, and we are overcoming the world not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. For it is Christ and Christ alone who overcame the world. Everyone who has been born of God, that is baptized into Christ, overcomes the world. We read that in 1 John. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That we also find in Scripture. Now, why is that? Why is it that we who have been born of God, why is it that we who have faith, why is it that we who confess Jesus to be the Son of God overcome the world? It's because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, overcame the world. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus said to His disciples. So Jesus says to us. So that is it, isn't it? We don't strive to use worldly ways to overcome the world. We live and move and have our being in the one who has overcome the world, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is simply true. This is an open statement of the truth. And an open statement of the truth in which we can place our confidence, resting our consciences upon it. Placing our confidence in, resting our conscience upon the truth of Christ. Now, what's that like? What's that like, living that way? Placing our confidence, resting our consciences upon this open statement of truth. Well, follow me here. It's like living during the flu season with an inoculation, a flu shot that actually works. That's what it's like. Think about it. I mean, it'd be something, wouldn't it? I mean, sure, we do have flu shots. And some years they work pretty well, and other years, not so much. And that being the case, every sneeze, every cough, every blown nose can become unsettling as we think that we might just have been exposed to something which could cause a serious illness or even death. We live through this season of unease, even the season of fear, every single year, don't we? But of course, if we were sure, if we were positive, if we knew that we weren't going to suffer from the flu, we wouldn't worry, would we? In fact, we might even volunteer to help those who were suffering from the flu, having compassion on them and doing what we could to alleviate their suffering. I hope you understand my point here. And in proclaiming not ourselves, but proclaiming Christ, we proclaim not only the one in whom we live, the one through whom we will be transfigured, but the one who has overcome the world. Now, that being the case, even though we're still in the world, we know that we too in Christ will overcome it. And overcome it not just temporally for a few years, some sort of comfort or ease, but overcome it eternally, being freed from it, from sin and from death forever. Now that truly is a transfiguration of true and lasting import, and the transfiguration which is ours only through our Lord Jesus Christ, who we proclaim. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and to life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.